Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday and a championship Friday. Catamounts on the floor, T-minus, let's see here, 6 o'clock, so that means 12, about 17 hours away here from championship basketball at Patrick Gym, and what a sight it will be again. Cannot wait for it. The show plan for today revolves around Catamount basketball. The day tomorrow is all Cats all day long. 8:30 to 10:30 Sports Saturday. Jeff and Bernie live. Aaron back in the studio there at FanFest. I'll be there as well, hanging out. Sam Hyman, of course, will be there. He'll have the official pregame show at 10:30, and then we will bring you the game as the Cats look for their second consecutive trip to the Big Dance. 11 a.m. is tip-off. Coming up here on the show, we'll talk with Kevin Lee of Westwood One in just a couple of minutes. He's calling the game for national radio. We'll get his takes on what it takes to call a mid-major title game. So we'll talk with him in about 7-8 minutes or so. We've got breaking NFL news right now. The Cleveland Browns earlier in the day acquired Jarvis Landry from the Miami Dolphins. Now they have acquired quarterback Tyrod Taylor from the Buffalo Bills. That is literally just in from Adam Schefter of ESPN. It is for a mid-round pick. So Tyrod Taylor from Buffalo and the playoffs to Cleveland. You have to think that early on what that means is that Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback the Browns are going to roll with next season, and whoever they pick at 1 or 4 is there waiting in the wings looking to learn from him moving into the season after that. That's the early glance. I have to like what the Browns are doing, being aggressive. They have those picks. They have that draft pick capital, and now they are trying to make the most of it. Look, I have a soft spot for the Browns. I'd like them to be good. My dad's from Northeast Ohio. I remember the disappointment, the anger that he felt the day the Browns announced they were leaving town and going to Baltimore, and I'd like to see him be able to get invested again. Tyrod Taylor did lead the Bills to the playoffs. The AFC North, I think, has room for improvement. The Browns have a lot of improvement to make, but with Big Ben aging and Le'Veon Bell unhappy, the Steelers, I think, regress a little bit. Cincy, definitely regressing. And Baltimore, I'm not a fan of John Harbaugh or Joe Flacco anymore at this point. I know they were close to the playoffs last year, but I don't see them being a big player next year. So I'm not saying the Browns go and all of a sudden are 11-5 team, but you have to like what they're doing right now, being aggressive in the trade market. And then as long as they're smart in the draft, new GM John Dorsey certainly off to a good start in Cleveland. Let's start with the other big news of the NFL day that happened prior to the Browns trades. Richard Sherman officially released from the Seahawks. The Patriots should go after him. It makes too much sense for them to go after him because he is an elite-level player when healthy, and I don't know how much he's going to cost. But that aside the point, Richard Sherman, I don't see him signing in New England. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network got a text from Sherm today that said basically what was he looking for in his next team. He said, looking for a great fit, a team that has a great quarterback, looking for somewhere I will feel comfortable. The Patriots fit the description of probably him being a good fit and having a great quarterback, but I don't see Sherman signing in New England. I have been following Richard Sherman closely for the last 6 years. And everything that I have observed about him tells me that he is not going to sign in New England. Of course, it is possible, but if Sherman did sign in New England, I think it would be kind of a massive flip flop on how he has lived his career to this point. He talked trash to Tom Brady, and Sherman is a guy who holds grudges and who holds rivalries. Is he going to be the guy who goes and plays with the guy that he taunted and trash-talked? I don't think that happens willingly. Is he going to be the guy who Tom Brady beat in the Super Bowl and now plays the if you can't beat him, join him crowd? Sherman marches to the beat of his own drum. He's an alpha male. Do I think that he wants to go and play the if you can't beat him, join him card? That's just not what I know about Richard Sherman, and it's not what I've seen and observed from him in the last 6 years. Again, he's not going to be able to be the free spirit and free talker that he was in Seattle. It doesn't even mean about politics. It just means about anything. Patriot players are very buttoned up, very zipped up. And while Richard Sherman is extremely bright, extremely well-spoken, extremely calculated, that's just not him. And I don't think he's just a loose cannon. I think he can be meticulous, and I think he could acquiesce to Bill Belichick's desires. But if he did do that, then he's not being true to himself, and therefore I don't think he's got that chip on his shoulder that has made him an all-pro four times. I just don't think that if Richard Sherman is being less of himself, that you're going to get the same Richard Sherman on the field. Sherman is heavily involved in charity. He just has a newborn, that, you know, a two-year-old, not a newborn, but a two-year-old. His brother, his whole family's out on the out west. Is out west. His brother runs his charity. Man, I know people make family sacrifices all the time, but I don't know that Sherman's moving 3,000 miles away from all that. I just don't. For how important his family is to him, I don't know that 3,000 miles away is something that appeals to him. Usually we see people go to New England to chase a ring. Richard Sherman has a ring, so he doesn't need to pull a Chris Long. He doesn't need to pull a Martellus Bennett. He doesn't need to just go and sign with the Pats just to get a ring. He's got a ring already. There are other contenders for a ring that Richard Sherman could go to. There are other competitors for a division championship, which gets you into the conversation for getting a ring, that he could go to. He's not ring chasing at this point in his career. What we need to know before we can unequivocally put the list down of where Richard Sherman is going to play in 2018, you need to find out what his motivations are. If Richard Sherman is motivated by money, he's going to get that more readily than in New England. If he's motivated by being the alpha male on a team, he's getting that somewhere other than New England also. If he's motivated by being a franchise icon and being arguably one of the top three, four faces in a franchise's history, then he stays in Seattle. He doesn't go to New England. And if it's about a ring, then yeah, New England's on the list. But so is Atlanta, a team that he could go and play with his old head coach and defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn. So are the Chargers, a team that is on the uptick in the AFC West. The Chiefs made the playoffs. Do I think with Patrick Mahomes they're a Super Bowl contender? No, but that's closer to home. The AFC is weaker than the NFC. They have a need at corner also after losing Marcus Peters. All of those teams become in the conversation. So, yes, the Patriots should make the phone call, but I would not be shocked if Richard Sherman rebuffs it, because everything I know about Sherman tells me he sticks to his principles. He sticks to what he believes in and who he is, and that's what makes him so great. And I don't think not being the alpha male, paling in comparison to Tom Brady's status on the team, and being probably making half as much money per year as Stephon Gilmore, his inferior, makes, I don't see Richard Sherman doing that. Is Richard Sherman going to go, even at age 30, and make $6 million, which is half of what Stephon Gilmore is making? Sherman knows he's better than Gilmore. Since 2011, Sherman, first in interceptions, first in passes defended, first in quarterback completion percentage allowed, under 50%, first in passer rating allowed. He is way better than Stephon Gilmore. I don't think, based on everything that I know about Richard Sherman, that New England is the team that first jumps off the page to me for his services. And yes, of course it could happen, but if it does, it would be a deviation from who Richard Sherman has been since he got into the league 7 years ago. If he signs with the Patriots, it will be a major deviation from everything that Richard Sherman has been since he got in the league 7 years ago. And look, I'm not even saying this as a jilted Seahawk fan or as an upset Seahawk fan. I appreciate everything Richard Sherman did for Seattle, and I wish him the best wherever he goes. I can't lie to you. I don't want to see him in New England, because I had so many Patriot fans over the last 3 or 4 years, ever since you Mad Bro and the Super Bowl tell me what a clown and a punk Sherman is, that I don't want to see him go to the Patriots and then have them all of a sudden turn the script and start cheering for him. But that's beside the point. I wish Sherman good luck wherever he goes. But everything tells me that who he's been does not jive with New England. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, though, first. And we've got ourselves Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee has covered the NFL, so we'll ask about Richard Sherman for Westwood One. He's also coming into town tomorrow to broadcast nationally UVM and UMBC. Again, we will have that coverage locally, 10:30 in the morning with Sam Hyman. But Kevin Lee of Westwood One on the phone line with us now. Kevin, thank you for being with us. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm good.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate you joining us, and let's start with this. What is it like for you to call a mid-major title game?
Oh, I enjoy them. I'm sure people enjoy doing the ACC final or the Big Ten championship or whatever it is, but I have had the opportunity to do usually a couple of the mid-majors, one-bid leagues for the last few years, and I find those more interesting with more drama and certainly more meaningful than any of the major conferences, because the reality is most of the time there, they both know they're going to the tournament, and it might not even really impact their seeding. So when everything is in line, now there's maybe an argument that Vermont could get in even if they lose, but generally speaking, if you don't win this game, you're not getting in. So it's pure drama.
Kevin, Vermont's had a lot of success, and they've hosted the America East title game here before. Have you ever got a chance to come to Patrick Gym before tomorrow?
I have not. I'm looking forward to it. I love those venues where it's packed and there's energy. And some of the conferences go to neutral sites, but I like the idea of rewarding someone who's done well in the regular season, and you're guaranteed of having good energy in the gym. So this should be fun.
How much prep and research time does it take for you to get acclimated to the mid-major schools? Because chances are you're not following them religiously all the way throughout. How long does it take you to really get up to speed on what you're going to be talking about tomorrow?
Well, it kind of depends on what your schedule is, and I haven't had any other games this week, so I've probably watched three games so far, and I've got a couple of other games on tape that I'll still watch before tonight, and it's just reading and researching on the internet, and that's still some of the process that I'll be doing of just Google searching names and finding interesting stories. I think some announcers are probably a little more crisp in their preparation and can get things done a little quicker. I tend to pace myself a little more, and you know, I'll generally spend a better part of 2 or 3 days getting ready for a game.
Kevin, what is more impressive, because this is going to be a storyline tomorrow, what's more impressive, the kind of sustained success that Vermont has had over the last decade, 15 years, and you know, really the last 2-3 years in particular, or is it the rebirth of UMBC, a team that was 7-25 just 2 years ago? What's more impressive?
That's a good question, because you might look and say, well, Vermont is going to win this game. They're going to win the championship. They've lost one game in the last 2 years in the conference. But I think they've got something going pretty good at UMBC, and Ryan Odom might be one of those future coaching stars in the making. But when you think that they won seven games, when they've won more games in the last 2 years than they had in the previous 7 years before he got there, they won 20-plus back-to-back years. They've got really good guards. That's a good story. It's probably harder, though, to have the sustained success. I think that's pretty impressive what Vermont has been able to do.
Kevin Lee is calling the America East title game tomorrow for Westwood One inside Patrick Gym, and we'll have that coverage for you as well starting at 10:30 right here on 101.3 ESPN. You've been to a lot of mid-major sites throughout the country. What are some other mid-major cities where you have a really cool feel like you'll experience tomorrow?
Well, I think most of the ones that I've done, and I've only been doing a couple a year for the last 3 or 4 years. I was really more working in the NBA and the NFL before that, but they've been mostly at neutral sites. So I think this will be the first one I do that's been at the side of the home team. So I'm really looking forward to that. And frankly, you know, there hasn't been a great deal of energy. And in some cases, like the Big Sky Conference, you know, they might be a 15-hour drive from where they contest the championship.
Kevin, you also called the NFL, as you alluded to. Up here, it's Patriots country. We're a Patriots affiliate, but a lot of Giant fans also. You got any good Patriots, Giant stories calling games either at MetLife Stadium or in Foxborough?
Well, I'm from Indianapolis, so generally we are expected to really dislike the Patriots, but honestly, I don't. And if people ask me what's my favorite venue to do a game or work a game or just be at a game, And at one point, I was a sideline reporter for the Colts, so I had a nice vantage point there. But Foxborough has really always been my favorite. I just love the energy and the atmosphere. They play great music during the game. it's a cool venue. The crowd is great. When I was working for the Colts and wearing Colts gear and had to walk through the concourse, that wasn't always particularly pleasant. But I still love going there. That's a great environment, and that's why they're disliked by so many around the country, because they're so, so good and have been for so long.
What are people in Indianapolis saying about Josh McDaniels these days?
I don't imagine they have very much nice to say, no. I'm out of the local talk show business in Indianapolis, but, you know, I still see comments on Twitter, and that's not received very well. But, hey, if he felt like that was a mistake, you know, it's better to right a wrong than simply go through the motions because of what you had already decided. I think we all reserve the right to change your mind, but it is pretty strange. And here in Indianapolis, I think one thing is people are wondering, wait a minute, what caused him to change his mind? Does he know something that no one else is willing to say about Andrew Luck? And that's still the big question, is no one really knows, no matter what's said. Until we see him play, no one knows if he's going to be what he was.
Kevin, we'll get you one more NFL question. Just the breaking news of the day came down about 12:30 p.m. just a little while ago. Richard Sherman released by the Seahawks. Patriot fans clamoring for him to be up here in Foxborough. What do you think of the possibility of Richard Sherman in New England?
The question with Sherman is, and what I don't know, is when is he going to be able to play, coming off an Achilles? And that's something that every team will have to weigh. It depends on the price. It always does. If he's expecting the type of salary that he's been getting, if he wants to be one of the top cornerbacks in the league, and you don't know if he's going to be ready by September, that's something you have to keep in mind. But if you can find the cap space, I'd do everything I can to get him, even if it is only for 10, 12 games. Talk to your medical people what the feeling is coming off an Achilles at his age. If they're convinced he can be what he was, then he's a difference maker, there's no doubt.
Kevin Lee, he's calling the America East title game in Patrick Gym tomorrow for Westwood One. He's also called the NFL and NASCAR as well. Kevin, I have to ask you, how do you call NASCAR on the radio?
I've only done a little bit of NASCAR. I mostly do IndyCar. I do IndyCar for NBC and NBCSN, and I've done a little bit of NASCAR for the race at Indianapolis. But it's actually racing on the radio. If you've ever heard it, and that's where I started, originally calling IndyCar races on radio. It's really fun if you're a play-by-play guy, and I was not a racing guy when I got into this 20 years ago. I was a basketball, football, baseball guy, but I was in Indianapolis, one of the homes of motorsport, and it's really just describing what you see. We have, on a big oval like Indianapolis, you have four turn announcers, one in each corner. You have three or four people in the booth. You have three or four people on pit road. And it's really kind of magic the way it works with the turn announcers, with each guy talking for about 8 seconds, stopping, and the next guy knowing when to pick it up, and you just describe the battles around the racetrack. Television is more just watching what you're seeing. You know, there's one play-by-play guy in the booth with an analyst or two, and then three or four pit reporters. But it's entertaining. You should tune into one of the MRN NASCAR races or IndyCar Radio. Their opener is this weekend, so it is race season.
Well, we carry the MRN races, and over on our sister station, we will have the Ticket Guardian 500 from the Phoenix area.
Okay.
Kevin, I got to ask you, this one is another one that became curious to me. Right around the Super Bowl, I got really into the prop bet scene, not doing it, just looking at what they were, and one of them was over under five times that Al Michaels mentions Carson Wentz. And I started thinking to myself, does Al Michaels look at these prop bets and see which ones involve him and then decide which way he's going to go on this? If you had prop bets on your own game that you were announcing, would you ever look at them and just say, yeah, I'm going with that one today?
I've wondered that too, because they control a lot of things. And we've all, you know, had jokes before where a friend says, hey, can you get this word in the broadcast? And you try to do that. I think ultimately, I would at least say I try to avoid looking at that.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, then you start to get it in the back of your mind and you're, all right, am I talking about Carson Wentz too much? But it's only natural. Sometimes you're going to see those things and I could see it impacting you. You might say, well, people don't think I should be talking about Carson Wentz so much. So we're going to limit our mentions to four.
How about this last question, a question I love asking broadcasters, an event that you haven't called or a sport you haven't called that you'd like to?
Major League Baseball. That's what I wanted to do when I grew up. I'm a Cubs fan, and that's what I always assumed I would do, but I got a pretty good job right out of college, and it never really made sense to go work Class A games and work your way up. I did have a chance to fill in for someone and do Triple A games about 10 years ago, so that was kind of my fix. So I've experienced professional baseball, but you know that would be the one thing, and that's the thing I've not been to. I've not been to a World Series. I've broadcast the NBA Finals. I've broadcast the Super Bowl. I've done the Indy 500 many times, but the World Series is something I have not experienced.
So be honest. How many times have you sat in your room now, watched the Chris Bryant throw to Anthony Rizzo Game 7 of the World Series, and just muted the sound and called that one yourself? How many times have you done that?
You know, I haven't. And unfortunately, as you get older, your passion is not quite as high as it once was. And I'm still a baseball fan, but ultimately, when you work in sports and there are things that you really have to watch, I probably don't watch nearly as much baseball as I once did. You know, as a kid, I could name the starting lineup for every National League team, and I can barely keep track of who's playing for my team at this point. So I enjoyed it, but I think I've really only seen it that one time, other than when it happens to pop up in highlights.
Kevin Lee, calling the America East title game, UMBC in town tomorrow to take on UVM. You don't need to give a prediction because I know the broadcasters don't like to do it, but I've got UVM winning this game by 23 points. That's what I'm going with, so we'll see how it shakes out tomorrow. Kevin, we appreciate it. Enjoy Patrick Jim.
I will hope you're wrong. I don't care who wins, but I always root for a close game.
Yeah, I know. That's the broadcaster thing right there. Thank you to Kevin Lee again. Yeah, I've got 84-61. I think UVM... I think they are going to play really well tomorrow. I think they're going to play really, really well. I think they're going to play inspired in the first half. I think they're going to get up big early, and they're just going to overwhelm UMBC with their experience. I'm excited for the game. I can't wait for the game. Sports Saturday tomorrow, live on set, 8:30 to 10:30 from FanFest at Patrick Gym. Come on out. See Jeff and Bernie. I'll be milling around as well. Aaron will be back in the studio, so it will be a lot of fun. We'll have tons of giveaways, tons of prizes going on, and it will be an absolute blast. Catamount Country, get ready to make some noise tomorrow. 10:30 a.m., the pregame show with Sam Hyman, again from Patrick Gym, and tip-off 11 o'clock. Catamounts and Retrievers with a date in the America East title game and a spot in the NCAA tournament on the line. We'll see you Monday, everybody. We'll recap everything that happened right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle.
Coming up Monday at 5:20, it's time for Monday Mirages. A look at the weekend.